Chester.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We're going to talk some about the tribulation period. As I mentioned, I think this is live today on the 11th of March, 2015. We're going to talk about tribulation period, among other subject areas, tonight. I'd mentioned this before, and I hadn't finished it, about the tribulation. It's coming. Everything's building up to that point. It's everything. It's building up to that point. They've so well constructed this agenda that people actually think religion, politics, economics, finance, arts, science, philosophy aren't connected to this one conspiracy, but it absolutely is. And they have councils, committees, Illuminati, globalists, fallen angels. They have councils, committees of these seven areas, which five I've mentioned, talk to each other across the table. They see how their agenda mixes with the other group to come up with a dialectic of politics to lead into the science area. Of religion to overshadow the science and evolution. Okay, we're going to come up with religion. We're going to push for evolution. And we're going to put it in your schools so you science guys over there can push it through your teaching. You see how they talk together across tables. Literally. Connected. Over meetings. Going through a checklist of agenda items that goes back centuries. Once you see this picture everything else just that you've been taught, excuse me, just goes away. Takes on a whole new picture. So consequently, trying to discuss this agenda with others is almost near impossible. You say, what makes you know? Well, I mean, you see the connections. You see the same names keep popping up. The same councils, committees control both sides, or three sides. It's amazing how it works. I don't mix politics and religion. They've got it so conditioned to say that. You should never talk politics, religion when we're talking about science. I'm not getting into that religion part. They don't realize where you think evolution comes from. It's the religion part. It's also connected to science. Then it gets into philosophy about how you should look at evolution. It all mixes together. Incredible. And then politically, they'll say, now let's pass laws that they cannot talk against evolution. We must pass laws that it'll be taught. That's how it works. They all coordinate together. If people only knew this, and the people doing it don't even know it. They don't realize what they're building. There's a bigger picture that they're contributing to that they don't know where it's going. It's all connected. Everything is, yeah, wow. I'm dedicated to broadcast here. And dedicated to Bible study. And I'm going to talk about a love that won't go away and the tribulation period, give an overall view. And every time I do these, you say, well, we already talked about that. Well, I'm going to throw some new stuff in there. There's always new stuff, man. There's always new things that come across. It's never ending. But all comes to a screeching halt when it takes place. Everything, we're in it. When we're in it, you pretty much know what's going to happen. And that's something. When you know that you're in the first seal, the Antichrist is, there's no doubt about it. And you know the falling away, the movement to the New Age movement, to no more Christianity as it is corrupted anyway. Everything goes to one religion. You say, oh man, this is it. You know from that year that Jesus is coming in 7 years, but you know a lot's going to happen between that time and then, you know, World War III, the real one, is coming. You know Armageddon then is coming. And you know about the time frame, too. You just about tell the time frame. So, oh my. Yep. So when you that know the Bible, I just thought of something. When you know the tribulation begins the first seal, and then you that know the Bible says, well, now, let's say hypothetically, you know that 2017, the Antichrist is there. Sanan Emanuel, false prophet, is there. One world government is set up. Hypothetically, I mean, way hypothetical, say 2017. You know by 2024, you know Jesus is coming. But you also know the year, the season. You don't know the day of the hour, you don't know. But you'll know the year. You know about the time frame. You'll know the season of his coming, but not the day of the hour. You know that a great pulling away, a great taking away is going to happen. Within 3.5 years, somewhere there. You'll know some time frames. And you'll warn people, but they will not believe you because they've been lied to for so long. That's what they've done. There are false prophets all this time. Has given so many, the sky's falling, that when it does happen, they're not going to listen to you. That's what that's all about. Son of a gun. Camping and all the others. When the sixth seal already, Carl Jessup, Gallup, horse gallop thing, Carol Gallup, P.P. Simmons says, Irvin Baxter, so he got some other kind of nonsense, he says. Peter something other. He's got his Seventh-day Adventists and all this other preterist nonsense. High-level people. Sid Roth, it's supernatural, has got his. So nobody believes you when you really tell them what's going on. That's why they've got the false prophets already. Son of a gun. Dedicate the broadcast. And, I mean, there I go again. Bible study. And we'll get started. This is recorded. And I'll have it up before the night's up. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray, Father, to bless this Bible study. Guide us, Lord, along your way. Father, with the Holy Spirit, to give us discernment and wisdom as we move through today to talk about the end times events. Lord, protect us with your blood of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, Lord, protect us against any stoppage, interruptions, or whatever, Lord, that's coming our way. To guide us in your wisdom and discernment through your holy word. To guide us tonight through the scriptures, Lord. And we pray for Sarah. It's been an emergency, and we pray for her, Lord, that you know her situation. We pray for the others, other of our brothers and sisters that requested prayers. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us all. And Father, for the blessings to take place, that Father, we can warn others to open up their hearts, their minds through divine appointments before that time comes. Guide us tonight, guide us, Lord, in the next, this coming week, in our broadcasts and Bible studies, Lord, to the next time. These things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, talk about a love that just won't go away. You know, this thing called love, we love, we've learned different ways, you know, I guess, in our lives. Some people just learn it one way, others learn it the other way, and act it out in our adulthood and what have you. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also ought to love one another. 1 John 4, verse 11. This thing called love is certainly misconstrued in a lot of ways when it's attributed to the materialistic world. It takes on a whole different meaning, actually, than the spiritual love. Love is a centerpiece of thriving relationships. We have a, you know, when you have a psychologist, which I think half of them need a psychologist anyway, show you some weird-looking diagram. Say, then what comes to your mind? Quick, you say it. Here's an apple. What do you think? Quick, red. Okay. Well, they've got us so conditioned. We say love. What's the first thing come to your mind? Really, sex. Some people say love. Divorce. Oh, sorry. Did I say that? Yeah. Love. Money. I was listening to a commercial the other day on internet TV. They were talking about money obtained from some program or something. And it was a positive form, positive commercial about some kind of program that brings money in your pocket or something. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so that's about money. So, oh, freedom. But that's not true. Money is not freedom. It's a perceived freedom. It's a facade. Money is enslavement when you really look at it realistically. It enslaves. It doesn't free. It pulls you down. Doesn't lift you up. Or it's necessary. You got to have it and all that. But God don't have the Federal Reserve in heaven. It's about doing deeds for each other. Fruits of the Spirit. He helped build my house, so I'll help him shoe his horse. It's a trade-off. And if you don't, forgive their debts as they forgive you. Hey, man, I fixed your house, and you didn't want to shout my horse here? Well, see if I ever fix your house again. No, it doesn't work like that. Scripture makes it clear that we need to be people who love. Love God with all our hearts. Love our neighbor, ourselves, as ourselves. Loving ourselves is sometimes humanist, but you're not supposed to hate yourself on the other side. But love your neighbor as you would yourself. And love your enemies. That's a hard one. That turn the other cheek thing, I still don't have a hang on that one yet entirely. But you know, it's hard to love when you don't feel loved. You don't feel love in your childhood. It's hard for you to love back. Neglected children, spouses who feel ignored by the mates and parents who are alienated from their children will all know the heartache of a life that lacks love. Y'all recall a program I did several weeks, well, a week or two ago, about an actual experiment in 1944 when they were really getting into socialism. Yeah. In America, there's an experiment with, forgot, 20 infants. Half were loved by the control nurses or whatever, and the other half was just fed, diapered, watered, bathed. That's it. Goodbye, kid. Gone. Family, they had 4, 5, or 6 to die within a short period of time. So bad that they had to conclude the experiment. From the ones that were not loved and nurtured and held. The lack of love killed them. Literally. So bad that they had to stop the experiment. It was about 1940s. It's lethal. Not philosophical. It's lethal. You know, everyone who longs to be loved, well, welcome to the pleasure of knowing that you're richly loved by God. The one you can't see, but subtle ways he shows you he's there. So think of a profound impact of his love is poured out for you at the cross of Calvary. I didn't say do yoga, but meditate, pray. Praying is not yoga. But meditate on the fact that if you've trusted in him, his love covers your faults and failures and that you're clothed with his spotless righteousness. You'll find that in Romans 3, 22 to 24. And just sit back and revel in the fact that nothing can separate you from his love. Romans 8:39. And then embrace his loving provision with a future secured for you when you'll be eternally loved. John 3:16, you've heard many times. So speaking of John, when he tells you that we ought to love one another, he calls us the beloved. 1 John 4:11. See also 1 John 3:1-2. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also might to love one another. Also ought to love one another. Once you embrace this, how wonderfully loved you are by God, to the extent that he took his own son's life, but then, of course, he came back to life. But he actually descended into Abraham's bosom, which is across from hell, proclaimed it risen, had defeated death. Host of hell definitely didn't jump on Jesus or beat him up or any of that mess that Joyce Meyer says or Copeland says or the others. Word faith says that Jesus suffered in hell. Absolutely did not. That's more false prophecy, more false theology, of which there's no question about that. None. But once you embrace that, how wonderfully loved you are by God himself, it's much easier to be the loving person God calls you to be. And that's even to those who don't show you any love either. Watts, theologian, he said, I quote, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present for too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all." Tonight, I'm going to talk about tribulation period. And that's something yet to come. To show those that the Bible's not just history, but the Bible's future. More up to date than tomorrow's newspaper, actually. The rapture, still an enigma to most people, and yet they fight for it. There's no such thing as a pre-trib rapture. How dare you say it? Now, it's a post-trib. Oh, but it's a pre-wrath. No, it's a partial tribulation. Man, there's like 6 or 7 different viewpoints. Has a distant observer just sat back and said, wait a minute, over here, pre-trib. Over here, partial trib. Over here, mid-trib, pre-wrath, kind of sitting on different sides of the same table. Over here, post-trib, and over there, no trib. Wait a minute. Is it possible that nobody knows when? Is it? Is that possible that nobody can say when the rapture is going to come? It just happened. You can speculate. You can maybe prioritize if you want to, but you'll never know. So with that being said, why are you arguing about it? When I get about the business of knowing the basics of the tribulation that you do know, but don't know when, but you know what's happened when they do happen, you'll say, well, we're in it. Like I said a little while ago. The Bible's written in such a way that you can't tell the dates until you know that the Antichrist shows, he's described to where you say, oh, that is the Antichrist. In the same vein, Oh, yeah. How about this? If those in Jerusalem had been in the synagogue, read the Old Testament, studied their Old Testament Torah at that time, of the prophecies of the coming Messiah, would they not have recognized Jesus as the one? Yes, they would have. Doesn't seem like too many of them did. If you study the Bible and you know the tribulation periods, you know, and there's like 46 different prophecies and descriptions of the Antichrist, when he appears, when he actually shows up, then you'll know who he is. right now everybody's trying to say, well, it's Obama, it's Prince William, it's this guy down in Greece. And they'll probably have another one. Who knows? They're trying to guess who it is now. But you'll know who he is when he takes over. But you'll know who he is because you know the 46 prophecies of the Antichrist. He'll fill all 46 of them. Right now, there's nobody you can name, really. So they would have known that Jesus was the Messiah when he came in on a donkey. They'd have known he was the Messiah when they didn't break his legs. They'd have known he was the Messiah if they'd have known about Jesus and his life in accordance with the prophecies of the Old Testament. But they didn't take the time. Huh. Sound familiar? So the moment after the rapture, whatever it is, the Spirit of God will remove any restraining influence on earth. As a result, life on earth will be relinquished to a flourishing evil that the mind cannot even conceive of. As the tribulation progresses, as it goes along, evil will result in a climax of worsening conditions. I'm sorry it's negative, but it is. Very negative. A negative that's never been experienced since the foundations of the world. God's wrath will be displayed toward the wicked through the signs of his coming judgment. His wrath is what you're spared from, because that's shown itself all through the scriptures. Ark, Sodom and Gomorrah, Joshua's winds over the giants. Tribulation is a 7-year period of time that's described in Revelation 11-18. About 7 chapters. And about the first 3.5 years of that time, there'll be a climax of worsening conditions. At this point, you've seen the loving nature of God, the forgiving nature of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. But family, God's anger's been held back. Nobody's getting away with anything. The anger of God and the fury of God against the wicked and the signs of Christ's coming. And during the last 3.5 years of the 7-year period, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be empowered to sit at the center of the tribulation, as then he's indwelled, possessed, and personifies Satan. Before he's a good guy. He'll double-cross everybody, march into Jerusalem, and declare himself, I am God. That's Lucifer, one side down the other, working through a body, somebody's body, that can handle his spirit. So what signs are going to warn us of the approaching tribulation period? The first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation unfold, you'll have a time of deception. Many will come in my name. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You'll find that in Matthew 24, verse 5. If people knew that, they wouldn't be so quick to jump on Obama's the Antichrist, No, Prince William's the Antichrist. See, he helped this lamb on this picture. No, the God down in Greece, he's the Antichrist because of this, that, or the other. Just know that many will come in his name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There'll be a time of dissension. Well, I'd say they're setting that up pretty much now. You'll hear wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Matthew 24, verses 6 to 7. Then there'll be a time of devastation. There'll be famines. Matthew 24, 7. And that will not exclude the United States. Or Great Britain, or Sydney, Australia. There'll be a, Matthew 24, verse 7. There'll be a time of disease, pestilence. Matthew 24, verse 7. It's not very popular what I'm talking about, because it's so negative. It's just so negative. Fancy car comes up on down country road. And little Johnny's outside working on the yard. So the fancy guy in the big Cadillac comes up and says, son, it's raining real hard. I'll put that in there. So I'm going to head down this road. I need to. He names some business he's looking for or somebody's house. He said, well, sir, I wouldn't go down that way if I were you. The bridge is out. It's real muddy, so you might not be able to come back up that hill. Oh, don't be so negative. He goes anyway. He doesn't get back up the hill. Family's telling you what's coming. It's not being negative. It's warning you what's coming. Because God's warning us in the scripture. Time of disasters. Earthquakes in various places. Divers places, Matthew 24, 7. Doesn't say God causes them. It says they're going to be. Y'all know how it happens through HARP. God's earthquakes will be no doubt in the sixth seal. That comes from God. Because God will destroy everything standing. There'll be a time of death. To deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Matthew 24, 9. Souls under the altar. We're talking. Also. Fifth seal. But here it's Matthew 24, verse 9. The Olivet Discourse. There'll be a time of disloyalty. Many will be offended. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Matthew 24, 10. Already, they're trying to take out a Navy chaplain, giving his views. Already, they want to take down some of the schools that are talking about God. We're not teaching about evolution and so forth. There'd be a time of delusion. That's a big one. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Matthew 24, verse 11. You know, note also that part of this delusion is an increase of drug use. Holograms. False TV reports and so forth that you put trust in. And one of the characteristics of the end times false religions is what the book of Revelation will call sorceries. Ironically enough, the word pharmacy is a root word for pharmakia, which is Greek for sorcery. How about that? Matthew 9, verse 21. pharmakia. That's where you get the word pharmacy, and it's ancient reference to the ingestion of drugs. Also means sorcery, witchcraft. The use of mind-altering substances like narcotics and hallucinogens will also be associated with false religions. And the governments will approve of it. That's what it's being set up for now. It'd be a time of defection. See, you're going to have lawlessness all around. And the love of many will grow cold. Apathy, selfishness. Back to bondage. Matthew 24:12. And people will turn away from God and love and from one another. They'll turn away from both. And then lastly, is a time of declaration, which I find very, very interesting. And I'll tell you why. It's because they're calling the New Age movement, it's calling the Day of Declaration, as a time that they're going to announce that extraterrestrials exist, and they're going to help us. And they've defeated the evil agenda, the evil aliens, if you will. It's going to be the scenario. Been planned since 1917. War of the Worlds broadcast, set the stage and test it. Science fiction movies, science fiction TV, comic books, Superman. All these were to set up the coming extraterrestrial announcement, which is going to be bogus. They're demons, fallen angels. Called the sons of God of the Old Testament, mythological gods of Greece and Egypt. Superman and all these other comic book characters are to portray the actual hierarchy. But here, from our point of view, a time of declaration is a gospel of the kingdom that's going to be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Matthew 24:14. But at some point, life on earth will be relinquished to flourishing evil. And you have, in some circles of Christians, that they're going to remove the evil first. The wicked will be removed first. I'm yet to understand how they come up with that. The only way they can do that, from my knowledge, I guess, would be to convince people that the tribulations are over. Removing the wicked brings Sanan Emmanuel, the false prophet, which would really start the first seal. So they got it mixed up. So either doing it on purpose or they're deceived by their preachers. Christian Identity, Carl Gallups, Irvin Baxter's, and all these guys. Tribulations have already happened, they'll say. You were seated by extraterrestrials. Yeah, right. Seated by extraterrestrials. Now that's the word you get, isn't it? You're seated by extraterrestrials. And what does that tell you? That's what's going on today. Atheists will tell you that nothing can come from nothing. Something can't come from something. It doesn't work that way. Even atheists will tell you that. The law of thermodynamics. Shows you things burn up, rust, rots, consumed, destroyed. Doesn't move forward. Atheists don't believe in the supernatural. So atheists go along with New Agers to a certain extent and believe that there's no God, believes that God didn't create us, but aliens did. Well, atheism go along with the other type theories that we've always been here. Mother Earth created us or whatever. When you define atheism, it's got a very interesting definition in a way, if you step back and look at it. The belief that there was nothing, and nothing happened to something. Nothing happened to nothing. The belief that there was nothing, and nothing happened to nothing. Then nothing magically exploded for no reason at all, and created everything, and then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for just no reason whatsoever into some kind of self-replicating bits of whatever, which turned into dinosaurs, and I guess a little dinosaur turned into a monkey, and a monkey turned into a human, but then there's other monkeys today that the monkeys got shortchanged, didn't they? So you had a real special group of monkeys that evolved into humans. All the other monkeys got shortchanged somehow or another. It's unfortunate. Poor monkeys. Never got their opportunity. But maybe the Planet of the Apes will take over. Sure. Mother Nature can be cruel sometimes, huh? Oh my gosh. And there's educated people who believe this. There's some educated. I've been trying to find the article. I've got it put away somewhere. But an actual doctorate in a medical facility of a college up in Canada. I read the article several months ago, but Norwegian, they were arguing, a debate or discussing, which evolved first, the mouth or the butt? This is not a joke. I'm dead serious. I really hate to have been the first creature that just had a mouth and no butt, or the first creature that had a butt and no mouth. You got mighty hungry. The mouth evolved first. You've been pretty plenty backed up for a lot of generations. Family, this is nuts. These are educated people. So I guess they evolved simultaneously. So for no reason whatsoever, they self-replicated bits to turn into dinosaurs. I guess a monkey came from a tadpole. I don't know. These people are supposed to have high IQs. Goodness gracious alive. Aliens created you. Aliens seeded us. Okay. But I have a question for you. I'm always an instigator. Where did aliens come from? Who created them? Are they the nothing that nothing happened to nothing and magically exploded for no reason, making a place for them? And somehow came up with a primordial goo that the right level of the heat turned into little microbes or something. Microbe turned into a tadpole. A darn tadpole turned into a dinosaur. Oh my gosh. Do those people get mad or what? That's nuts. That's what you're talking about here. This is taught in school. Evolution. If a kid says, well, my dad says there's no such thing as evolution, he'll have CPS knocking on his front door. The tribulation. I'm going to clean all that up. All these false beliefs and all this false religions, beliefs, everything. Man, when that tribulation starts, all bets are off. Everything changes. That's a game changer. So what is a tribulation? It's a natural consequence of the rapture. Some speak of the pre-trib. The pre-wrath is another idea. Some people believe, though, that the rapture will cause the tribulation. That'd be pre-trib. It'd have to start with some kind of major event. Would have to be worldwide. To bring the world together under one banner. would have to be a major world event, say an extraterrestrial hoaxed extraterrestrial threat upon the earth would bring everybody together. I'm not going to go in detail, I don't have the time, but I experienced this. No, not E.T. But the phenomena, it works. To cause a threat, get us all fighting. So wouldn't it be a real hoot if the reason they're collecting troops worldwide now, in Israel, Middle East, and everywhere, I'd be Middle East, and over in Europe, gearing up in the United States, because they're anticipating, confidentially, anticipating an extraterrestrial invasion. And they're not telling people. It would not be an extraterrestrial invasion. It would be an invasion by the demonic entities coming as extraterrestrials, as the bad guys, and then the good guys would come out of the woodwork and defeat them. But here's the point. The point is, we're fighting each other. Russia, China, blacks, whites, everybody's fighting each other. They got us all at each other's throat. You put a threat upon the world, and the world comes together. The world starts fighting each other, and they will come together. Now, that's a strategy, and that is a principle. As a matter of fact, did you know that John Dewey, who was a humanist up to yin-yang, in 1917, he was a humanist, father of American education. How about that? He said, in 1917, I'm going to read the words exactly, once I found it here somewhere. 1 second. There. In the Imperial Japanese mission in 1917, a record of the reception throughout the United States of the special mission head by Viscount Ishii, John Dewey, professor of philosophy and humanist at Columbia University, of course, he was the next speaker in this series of speakers, was listened to with great intenseness. And he said, I quote, "Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity, of interest, and purpose." President Reagan, who planned Star Wars, by the way, a military coup of the U.S. government, also, by the way. He's a Knights of Malta, like Oliver North. Star Wars. FEMA. 1980s. Has used that same quote on 5 different occasions. Once in front of the U.N., another time in front of a college, and 3 other times, he cited John Dewey's same quote. Back in 1996, I'll make this real quick. I was getting ready to go to Saudi Arabia, and I went to a restaurant in Arlington, a small Italian restaurant. I was by myself, and I sat in the middle of people, and it was a small restaurant. Remember that. And as I'm sitting there looking toward the door, saw these 2 individuals come in, like patrons. But something strange was going on. People started getting down on the floor. I'm like, huh? And I realized, the restaurant's being robbed. This is rich. So once I realized that, the guy pulled out a gun, the other guy went over to the cash register, and the other guy is making people lie down. Take your wallets, put them out on the floor. Now, break. Before that, I walked in, I knew absolutely nobody. If I walked up to a table and said, how you doing? They said, who are you? Or what? I knew nobody in there. Nobody knew anybody. They just all were there as strangers. So, anyway, continuing. And so, I was thinking to myself, well, I'm either going to have to, I really didn't want to give my wallet up just because, just the principle of it. Didn't have much money in it anyway. I was thinking these things. I said, when he gets close, I can grab his arm and do something. But if I do, somebody will get shot. So this is going through my head. It's better just give up the wallet. No, I don't like. Okay, all this is going through my head. But in the meantime, one of the waiters busted out and left the restaurant, which consequently scared the two robbers away, and they left without taking any wallets. Okay, please come finally. Here's the point. All of a sudden, everybody's getting up, dusting themselves off, sitting down. Everybody's chit-chatting, yak-yakking. Everybody's old friends. Matter of fact, a couple said, hey, excuse me, you. I said, who, me? He said, yeah. You want to come over and sit over by us? I said, no, I don't want to sit by you. And why did I do that? Because I wanted to watch the human interaction. I said, oh, man, what an opportunity this is. I can watch this interaction of people. He said, everybody write a statement. So they're writing down, hey, excuse me, John. Hey, you, what's your name? John, yeah. What kind of gun was that again? I said, man, these cops don't know what to do. Because you're supposed to separate witnesses. They can't talk to each other. Anyway, that's the point. Everybody's old buddies and friends now. One small instant that was dramatic caused everybody in the restaurant to come together as like as a family reunion or something. I'm like, wow, this works. It's amazing. The human interaction was incredible. I thought, what a transformation that was. I see these things as opportunities, actually. No matter what it is, it's opportunity. A threat to this world would bring everybody together into a new world order. That was cited in the Iron Mountain Report. War of the Worlds broadcast was a test in 1938-39. Then they built up the anticipation by science fiction movies and Independence Day, all these things. Star Trek, created by Roddenberry, who's a Freemason. Got it? Oh, yeah. This has been so well thought out and so well planned. They still lose. Unfortunately, a lot of people will be deceived. Fortunately, a lot of people also will be saved because they'll listen to what they are told, what they read, the Holy Spirit to talk to them. Christians, if there's a pre-trib rapture, a mid-trib, pre-wrath, the Christians will eventually be in heaven. Well, that's born-again Christians. God will be seated on a throne, surrounded by rainbow of emerald greens. 24 elders representing the church-age saints sit around the throne. And before the throne is a sea of glass. In the midst of the throne are the four living creatures giving praise around the throne, are angels in the church. You find it in Revelation 4, verses 3 to 4 and 6 and 8. The worship of the glorified Christ, the creator of the world, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. But now God is just about to deal with the physical earth in judgment. Then it comes. Before he does, he's worshipped by the church in heaven. Thunder, lightning, voices signify the judgment which is about to fall upon the earth in a horrific, terrible manner. You're not appointed to wrath of God, but Satan's wrath and persecution, that's another story. So Some say there's two raptures, one at the beginning and one in the middle. Again, nobody knows. If you're already born again, who cares? If you're born again, don't matter when it is. If you're already born again, then you spread the gospel. But from the scriptures you read that the personal body return of the Christ, the Lord of Jesus Christ, is in the air to remove his waiting church from the earth and reward them according to their works as a judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they become saints to come back and rule with Jesus Christ. It's in the scriptures. Then, rewards such as according to the works will be looked at the judgment seat of Christ in the supernatural state. At the end of the thousand-year millennium after Armageddon is a great white throne judgment. That's for the unbelievers. And then their works will be looked at as different varying degrees of hell. This will take place before the tribulation period, during which time the judgments of God will be poured out upon an unbelieving world. First part of the tribulation. A lot of scriptures are supporting and indicating that the immediate or imminent return of Christ for his church prior to the tribulation, then during or after it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 to 12. First Thessalonians 1 to verse 10. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. So, we don't know it's going to be this generation in the spring, in the fall, or the year 2017. Nobody knows. So live your life, not in fear. Study the word so you'll know when it happens. And then you'll be used mightily. But right now, nobody knows. It's just teetering. Trying to cause you fear so you'll lose your faith. Cause you lust to watch on TV. I see it every day. Oh, I guess I told myself. No. Turn away from these things. You know, when I first became born again, I fell back 3-4 times in a 10-year, 12-year, 15-year period. The broadcast I've been doing now 5 years has changed my life. I just fell into it, and I just do it, and I can't say things on the air that don't live. I make mistakes, but I feel conviction for them. But I've learned a lot doing the broadcast, doing the prayers every day, sometimes twice today, keeping track of what Satan's up to. It's opened my eyes big. You start seeing what's important, what's not, and you wait for that day that may or may not come in your lifetime, and or it may. Don't know when. So, family, you study the word in season, out of season. You know that when the tempo increases, you know, it's like you're starting to get a cold. And you start getting a scratchy throat, you know, and you start craving chicken soup. Or you don't want to have any ice cream or sweet stuff. You don't like it anymore for some reason. You want, like, water or orange juice. You start getting chilled a little bit. You don't see, you know you're going to get cold. Something's changed in your body. Something indicates that something's coming. You start taking vitamin C and you eat a lot of honey and I don't know, that's your cravings. It's all of a sudden you need them. You watch for those body changes when Satan knows that time is near, sees it happening. Those that follow Jesus Christ, you're going to find a difference. People will come at you. Good ways and bad ways. Your routines are going to start changing. Interruptions will start happening when they normally don't. You'll have insights you didn't know you had. There's a change coming. You can sense it. Well, family, I'm going to close in prayer. And tomorrow we'll continue on. Wow, it's been a fast week already. It's already Wednesday. 11th of March, yeah. We'll talk about a little more of the tribulation. Natural disasters that occur on earth during the tribulation. We'll discuss briefly, will people be saved during the tribulation? How they'll be saved during tribulation? What's going to happen to believers when they die? We'll talk about a lot of that between now and Friday. Just knowing that you don't know when it's going to happen, but you'll know when it does. Then you'll have time frames in your head, because the Bible tells you 7 years, tribulation. And they're in sequence and orders. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. He's got it laid out for you. I hadn't started yet. Remind you, my broadcasts and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net by John Kirkler. Highpointradio.net. He has sponsors up there. You can find his sponsors in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania on his website. And, you know, if you live in that area near his sponsors, near him, you can use those sponsors if you'd like. Give him some support, some kind of support. He has towers up there where he handles New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. So, family, I appreciate your visiting me tonight in this Bible study. And we see things happening. Remember that grandmother that killed her granddaughter with a buzzsaw? She wouldn't stop crying. When we turn away from God, the veil opens. It gets thin. Demonic entities come through. People don't understand. Christians don't understand this. They don't understand this. And then the ones that do, they start praying against second dimension demons, and they're going to get their butt beat if they're not prayed up and fasted. Those second dimension demons, second heaven demons, man, you better be prayed up. That means that. Too much Game of Thrones people have been watching. You don't play around with the supernatural if you're not prayed up and you don't have the Holy Spirit closely on your side. Remember when those brothers went after the demons? The demons said, "Christ Jesus we know, but who are you?" And they went after him and tore him to pieces in the Bible. And the apostles were embarrassed when they couldn't bring this demon out of this person. And Jesus commanded the demon out, and Matthew 17:21, they said, how'd you do that? We tried and tried, couldn't do it. He said, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17:21, the King James Bible talks about it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight. We have a Bible study. Thank you, Father, for us being able to come together. Father, we pray for our family members that's traveling, and that Father is looking for salvation, looking for love, looking for Lord, that missing partner in life, that Father, the Holy Spirit will be there. They'll be sanctified through the Holy Spirit, through that family member. And for those traveling, Father, you protect them. Father, to visit them with the Holy Spirit, to touch their heart, to lead them in the path. Father, we pray for wisdom, discernment for this country, for the watchmen to come out, whistleblowers to come out and start speaking. We pray for the return of Jesus Christ on this earth. We pray for that anointing to give us that opportunity to witness to others. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to close tonight in the not-so-usual way. See if you like this one. Y'all have a good night, and God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Watching for Jesus by broadcast. I got it reversed now. Oh, wow. And we'll hit the ground running tomorrow. About the North American Union and the National Police Force and other areas that we're going to talk about. So y'all have a good night and God bless. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Move that stone.
I believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen.